You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. The scripture reading today is in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing now on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, turn to Acts chapter 2. This will be part of our review. After we pray, we'll go there. So I'll just go ahead and get you there. Okay, I don't hear any pages turning. So let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we thank you for the joy that we have to fellowship and look at the Word together, to study it, to be impressed by the wisdom of the ages, to be in tune with the purpose, that plans that you have revealed to us through the Scriptures. We pray that we're good students of it, that we honor you in all that we do in regard to that, and we share the Word with others, and that we be bold in our witness, thanking you always for the making us meet for the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you for these blessings and this grace in his precious name. Amen. Well, we've been doing, and just a recap, we've been doing a study on the 4 days, and the 4 days are simple. Don't let everybody, don't tune out now. We're just 4 days are just the day of man, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, and the day of God. We're in the middle of the day of Christ. We're just kind of, we're going to kind of sum it up today, come to the conclusion, and I hope get through it, and we'll move into the day of the Lord. Everybody likes the day of the Lord. It's fascinating because it really has to do with prophecy of end times. Everybody's looking at end times because of all the events around us. It's amazing, though. People have looked at this for the last 2 decades. Last 50 years. The last 100 years, people have looked at it and said, oh man, the Lord's going to return any moment. 100 years ago, they thought the same thing. Go back to the 1860s in America. Civil War. You can go back all the way to 2,000 years ago, and we're going to do that today. You'll see that even James and Peter thought the same thing. But has he returned? No. He has not returned. And there's a reason for that. He's not going to return until Elijah comes back, and Elijah's going to start again. After God set Israel aside, Elijah's going to start again the prophetic clock that pertains to Israel. Israel is the focus. And we saw that in the first verse of our passage this morning. We'll look at that in a minute. But if you're there in Acts chapter 2, the day of the Lord does not begin until God has accomplished certain things. And these things we find out in the Acts period. The Acts was a picture of the things that were to take place that lead up to the day of the Lord, the return of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 11, I'm tardy, so bear with me here. Verse 16. This is that. Peter says this on that day of Pentecost when everybody in Christendom, well, not everybody. I mean, surely you all don't think that the church began here, do you? If not, we need to talk some more. Maybe privately. Have lunch or something. But the day of the day of Pentecost is not anything new. It's something that's old. And that's what Peter says here in verse 16. This is that. And he's quoting the prophet Joel. That was spoken through the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Fascinating period here, the last days. First time it's used in Scripture, Genesis. And it's used by Jacob, or Israel. And he calls his boys together. You remember how many sons he had? How many sons did he have? 12. He calls his sons together, and he talks to them about the things that are going to take place in the last days, and he gives them their inheritance. Now that's interesting, and I want you to keep that in mind, because that's one of the things Elijah is going to do when he returns. When the northern and the southern kingdom are brought back together again, God will dole out, or he will hand out the inheritance that belongs in the last days. This isn't the day of the Lord. The last days are leading up to what? That day. That's an interesting phrase for us to remember. This is what Joel is talking about. He says in verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days. He talks about the pouring out of the Spirit upon all flesh before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord. Time period. Another thing we learned in Acts chapter 15, where James quotes Amos. School teacher asked little Johnny to stand up and recite the alphabet. A, B, C, X, Y, Z. And he sat down. She went, wait a minute, Johnny. Why did you do it so that way? And he said, well, I mean, why mess around? Let's just get it done. And she said, no, we need to work on all the stuff in the middle. We need to go A, B, C, D, E, F, and go all the way through the alphabet. That's what this teaching is supposed to be doing. It's taking its time to go through it so that we don't get in a hurry and just say, hey, did you ever sit in a math class and you had somebody in there and they just look at the problem, they'd go 56? How did he know that? No, it was usually she. How did she know that? How did she know that? It was a complicated math problem, but in their head they did it and they just got to the end. Well, the teacher doesn't do that, does it? Teacher goes step by step, step by step. What we're doing here is, as we go back and we look at some of this, and we're showing some of the connections that we made last week. And as we look at Acts, we see that Acts is a time period after the ascension of our Lord that was a precursor to the day of the Lord when He would come back. Everything that we see in Acts was all set in motion in order to prepare the people, God's people, Israel, for His return. Here in Acts 15, after the word of salvation had got out to the Gentiles, Paul and Barnabas come back to Antioch, and then they go to Jerusalem, and there's a little ruckus about the law of Moses and circumcision. And then James says, no, or Peter stands up and says, we shouldn't put a burden on them any more than is a burden on us. And James says, okay, it's good to the Spirit and to us to do what we do, the declaration we make here in Acts chapter 15. But he backs it up with the Scripture. If you're there in 15, verse 15, James says, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return. After what? Salvation unto the Gentiles. After this I will return. Who's going to return? Messiah. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again its ruins, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the nations upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Acts is a connector. And these are connections to the things that Acts is teaching us. And that is that these things must take place before the return of the Lord. Psalms 110, 1. Go back and look at that. And this is quoted in Acts chapter 3, but Psalms 110:1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now where's, who is that he's speaking of? David's Lord. Who's David's Lord? Messiah. Christ. Who's the Lord? God. God said unto my Lord, Messiah, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So where is Christ now? In the heavens. And where is he going to stay until his enemies are made his footstool? Yeah. Okay, just throwing some connectors in there, just remind you what we looked at last week so that you can put them in remembrance as we look at today's lesson. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Not everybody's good at numbers, and these are a bunch of numbers. I put some of the numbers on your bulletin. On your bulletin under that last hymn, it says the length of Elijah's ministry. And that's always on people's mind. When will the Lord return? When is his coming? And many say, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. It can be at any moment. But that's one thing we talked about last week. There are things that we've learned that need to take place before his return. And he can't possibly come back now because they haven't been done. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, we're going to deal with the 70 weeks of years. Now, it just says 70 weeks. You familiar with that? You know what a week is in Hebrew? It's a seven-year period. It's a week of years. And so when he says 70 weeks, he's saying 490 years. That's 70 years times 7. That's 490 years. Or what? I need to back that up. Go over to Genesis chapter and hold your place there. Put your bulletin right there. Genesis, see if I can find this. Chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, is the father of the 12 tribes, the father of the nation. He marries Leah. And he's a little perplexed about that because he bargained to marry Rachel. And his uncle Laban deceived him. Verse 25. In chapter 29, it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. That's who he married, thinking it was Rachel. It was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Now the 7 other years are related to what word? That first word, or the third word, fulfill her, what's that? Week. So what is a week? It's 7 years. That's what he's talking about in that verse. That gives us the identification. Come on back to Daniel chapter 9. And so when he says in verse 24, 70 weeks, that weeks is 7 years. So it's 70 times 7. 70 weeks. And so we typically say 70 weeks of years in order to give us a proper understanding. 70 weeks is 490 years. And two things are said here, many things are said, but here are determined, 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. To finish a transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. I want you to recognize that the first two things he talks about are the people and the city, Jerusalem. 70 weeks of years, 490 weeks. That's all relative. It just says 490 years are going to be determined upon thy people and to bring in the most holy. Now, verse 25 deals with his birth, the most holy's birth. And this is our first reference to one of two princes. He is called Messiah the Prince, and we're going to see the man of sin is called the Prince in the next verse, which deals with his death. But the verse 25 deals with Messiah's birth. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah... Have you got that period? From the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem unto the birth of Messiah, the Prince... Let me just quickly tell you when that period is. It's in Nehemiah chapter 2, and it's when it's after 70 years after the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. 70 years has preceded that statement from the going forth of the commandment to restore Jerusalem. Shall be the birth of the Prince, Messiah the Prince. Now, read on. Let's just read it again and just kind of get it down. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. How many years is that? 483. 7 weeks, 62. That's 62, and 7 is what? 69, and 7 times 69 is 483. So, 483 years is fulfilled in their mind at this time. You know, a few people knew about this, but only a few. I mean, everybody knows the wise men. They knew about it, right? Let's go to Matthew chapter... I think it's chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Still got your bulletin, just put it there in Daniel. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They knew about it. Look at the next verse. It's saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They knew about it. They had read the prophecy. 483 years. 70 years prior to that. When was Jerusalem destroyed? They may not have known about the commandment and when that took place, but they knew when Jerusalem was destroyed. They add the 70 to the 483. They get this time period. How many years is that? 483 and 70. 550 what? 3. Now, you don't have to worry about any calendars when it comes to the Lord. He gives you His time period. We know exactly when Jerusalem was wasted. I mean, if we want to call it 553 B.C., that's 553 B.C. Just threw that in. You know who else knew besides the wise men? Go to Luke chapter 2. Verse 25. After he was born, 8 days later, Mary takes him to the temple, and he's circumcised. The Lord Jesus, Emmanuel. And there in the temple, verse 25 of Luke chapter 2, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He knew about it through special revelation. But he knew about it to be there on that day. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know who else knew about it? lady named Anna, down verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, who departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instance, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption. People knew who studied the Scriptures. They didn't do like little Johnny when ABC XYZ. They went all the way through. Come on back to Daniel. Now that speaks of his birth. Now verse 26 speaks of his death and is a second passage that we might say is relative. It's not connected to the first, verse 25. It is set apart just like verse 24 is set apart. Verse 24 speaks of the whole time period, 490 years. And verse 26 is set apart. Notice it says, and after 62 weeks. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. How many years is that? That's 434 years. 434 years. Messiah shall be cut off. But not for himself and the people of, and that's really a phrase that not for himself. In other words, he doesn't get his regal position here on the earth. He does have it from a heavenly point of view. And he's not cut off, just the people are cut off. But not for himself and the people of the prince that shall come. That's the second prince. That's the son, that's the man of sin. And the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war of desolations are determined. Now, if we have 434 years, or 62, 62 weeks, or 62 weeks of years used up of the 490, how many does that leave? 56. And we know from other passages that 1 week of years is a 7-year period that we know as the Great Tribulation. So how many weeks are left? 7. 49 years are left. Or 7 weeks. You have 62 out of 70. That leaves 8. And we know one of them is the tribulation period. Then we have 49 years left. Do you follow that? Everybody got that? Okay. Now look at your bulletin. What is the length of Elijah's ministry? Well, it could be 49 years. It could be that whole 49 years. If we stop at the point where Messiah was cut off at the cross. You could say that Messiah was cut off at the cross. I mean, when else would you pick it? Well, we got a couple of other selections here, but the first one has got to be at the cross when they crucified him. The only thing that stayed that, was the fact that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's not another explanation, because God didn't come down and with fire and consume them, which you would expect him to do. But let's just say that he does cut it off at the cross. Then that 49 years is still futuristic to accomplish his purpose in Jerusalem and amongst the people. Because we know the last year, or last 7 years, that last week of years, it was a tribulation period. But what happened to those 49 years? Everybody follow that? Look at verse 26 again and read it. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be what? Cut off. If we take the cross as that period, then none of those 49 weeks are used up. But if we say that God forgave them and he continued to reoffer the kingdom to them in the Acts period, then we could say that those 49 weeks are starting to be used up. Those 49 weeks are being applied to this period during the Acts when God is reoffering that kingdom to Israel. Now that period is 33 years long. And that's how we get from 49 down to 16. Take 33 years, we get to the close of the Acts period when God sets Israel aside. And God is not dealing with them anymore. But was anything accomplished? Was that time of Messiah's return enjoyed at that time, at the end of the close of the Acts? No. In fact, during that whole Acts period, everybody anticipated that he would return. Put your bulletin there and go over to Acts chapter 3. Just to draw another connector that we've looked at before. But notice what Peter says after the lame man is made whole again. And everybody's in amazement because they all had seen him for 40 years outside the temple, wanting to go in and never able to go in. And now because he's healed and made whole, he's able to go in. And Peter then in verse 19 of Acts chapter 3 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." What is in Peter's mind right there? The return of Christ. The return of the Lord. One condition. What is it? Verse 19. Repent. Just repent. As a nation, repent. That kingdom is being reoffered. Everybody during this Acts period spoke of that same thing. Go look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 8. James 5, verse 8. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth what? Not 2,000 years. James thought this. Peter thought. I'm not going to go through all these. We've been through them before. Peter thought the same thing. Paul, in all of his passages, thought the same thing, that the return of the Lord was imminent. And as Mac used to say, what happened? You can almost see him. He just kind of lean over and go, what happened? Well, we know what happened. They rejected him. They rejected his word. They rejected the ministry of Paul, who for the hope of Israel was in his chains until the close of the Acts period. But all the time during that period, come on back to Daniel, all the time during that period, Paul was offering this kingdom. Peter was offering this kingdom. James was offering this kingdom. John was offering this kingdom. Jude was offering this kingdom. God was ready, and the Lord was ready to return if one thing would be done and accomplished, and that is Israel repent. Israel did not repent. If Israel had repented, God would establish the new covenant and set his kingdom up. We'd have had that last those last few years accomplished, and then the 7 years that finishes the 70th week of the 70 weeks of years. Of the last week of the 70 weeks of years would have been accomplished, the tribulation would have been taken care of, and the man of sin, the beast, and all that would have been thrown into the lake of fire. And the millennium kingdom would have been set up. But they didn't. So what happened then? Well, if you look on your bulletin, there's 49 years. That could be the time period of Elijah's ministry once he comes back to restore all things, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and children to the fathers. But if it's not at the cross, if God counts that time, and we don't know if he does or doesn't because he doesn't tell us, it could be that those 33 years eat up those 49. Part of those 49 and move us down to 16 years if we go to the close of the Acts period. Those 16 years may be the time period of Elijah's ministry before that last week of the tribulation. But there's another event that takes place in 70 A.D., 7 years later after Acts 28, and that is the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus and the Roman army. If we count those 7 years, then that period, if that period would have allowed Israel a time to repent, because it is determined on the people and what? The city. And Jerusalem wasn't destroyed until that time in 70 A.D. Those 7 years might have been accounted against this 49. Oh, I know numbers are hard. They're really difficult. And I had a whole bunch of other numbers I could have put on there, and I thought, you know, just keep it simple. But most of this, you'll have to go back, you know, like Johnny, and learn DEF, GHI, JKL, and start putting those things into position. I remember the first time I talked to a guy, Mac taught on the perfect number. And you know how we got the perfect number, right? You remember we went through this about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. You know, we take that 70 years that before the going forth of the commandment to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, we take that 70 and we add it to the 483 years, the birth of Messiah, and then we add that to 1967, you know, 1,967 years, and we come up with 2,520, first perfect number. We know those numbers are accurate and spot on. Now, what does it mean? Everybody's tried. Everybody's taken the dice and they've rolled it. You know, they've gone, you know, from 1948 to 1988. You know, that 40 years of testing is always applied to Israel. In 1988, we had books galore come out. 88 reasons why the Lord returns in 88. It just goes on and on and on. We've had we've had people try to guess. And maybe rolling the dice isn't that good of a, because you know, they base what they say on the scriptures, but they're forgetting something. They're forgetting Elijah. God says, I will send Elijah. Our Lord said that. Truly, Elijah shall first come and restore all things. Now, what are some of these all things? Well, the first thing is the pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh. We looked at that. That's the very first thing. And we know by looking at the Acts period that it starts where? In Oklahoma City. Right here, okay? Let's go out. We've got to bring people in. No, it's not Oklahoma City. It's Jerusalem. What's that method? Judea. Samaria. And then the uttermost parts of the world. What that pouring out of that Spirit will do is everybody will begin to see that God is with Israel. That's why He does that. That's why their ministry will be so effective. God is with Israel doing these things. The second thing that we saw in Acts chapter 15, the quote from Amos, is the building of David's tabernacle. Now we looked at that. Let's go look at it again real quick in Ezekiel. Put your little bulletin there in chapter 37. I'm not sure what order some of these other things will take place. Some of these things that Elijah is going to do when he turns the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Verse 22, these old dry bones are all brought together. Ezekiel 37:22. I will make them one nation. And he says, I will make them one nation. He's taking two sticks. One stick is Judah. The other stick is Israel. And one stick is the two southern tribes. And the other stick is the 10 northern tribes. And he brings them together after he's knocked off the dust from these old dry bones. And he's pulled them out of their graves in all the countries and brought them back into their country. He says in verse 22, I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountain of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Why? He brings those two back is that in the last days, the prophecy that Israel, Jacob, told his 12 sons, in the last days, here's what you're going to get. This is the inheritance that you'll have. He's got to bring those 12 tribes back together. Now, in 70 AD, every one of the lineages of all of Israel was destroyed. Who's going to tell Israel who belongs to what tribe? How's he going to bring these 12 nations or these 12 tribes back together? Elijah. That's how. That's a third thing that's going to happen. The restoration of the land, we saw that. It's going to be like a land where the wine and the corn never end, and everybody's going to be going, "Wow, look what's going on over there." Has it started? Maybe. Has Elijah done it? I haven't heard anything about Elijah. I'm sure we will. I mean, the man speaks with great authority when he was here on the earth. But that's who we look for when we begin to start God's prophetic time period again. And notice he says here, not only will I bring these two sticks together and I'll make of them one nation, we got the 12 tribes, he says in verse 24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my ordinances and observe my statutes and do them. You talk about turning the hearts of the children back to the Father. That's it right there. And turning the Father back to the children, that's what God will do when He blesses them. He goes on to say, verse 27, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, will I be their God, and they shall be my people. And the nations shall know, verse 28, that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. See, turn to Zechariah, chapter 8. Zechariah, chapter 8. Notice he says in verse 13, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you and you shall be a blessing. That's what God promised through Abraham, that through the nation Israel, all the world, the nations would be blessed. And then, verse 22. Now let's back up. Verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come peoples and inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people, strong nations, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Jerusalem's got to be built up, and he talked about the walls being built and the highways being built. Jerusalem's got to be a place that people can come to. Who's going to do that? Elijah. And notice verse 23. Fascinating verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. For we have heard that God is with you. Now salvation will be of who now? The Jew. It'll go back to the Jew. It was taken away from the Jew in Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the word of this salvation would be authorized or sent unto the Gentiles. There, and for 2,000 years, they're the ones who have carried that forth. But there is that time when that gets turned back to Israel. So we've got the pouring out of the Spirit upon all flesh. We've got the building of the tabernacle. Now that speaks, come back to Daniel. Okay. Building of the tabernacle, well, that speaks of Levitical priesthood, right? That speaks of things offered. Oblations are given. Who's going to do that? Who's been given the only people who've been given the right to do that? Levites. The Levitical priesthood that have to be reestablished. Who's a member of the tribe of Levi will be determined by Elijah when he determines who all the tribes are, and Levi's people will be picked out, and they will resume that responsibility. So there's another thing. So you've got the pouring out of the Spirit, you've got the building of the tabernacle, you've got the joining together or the reestablishment of the 12 tribes, you've got the salvation of God going back through Israel, you've got the Levitical priesthood. And we know that because look in verse 27. You there in Daniel 9? Notice in verse 27. And he, that's speaking of that prince, not the Messiah, the prince, but the prince that comes to destroy, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now that's that very last week. That's that very last week in the 70 weeks of years that are determined. That's that tribulation period. He says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of that week, that's the halfway point, right? 3.5 years? The 1,000... Oh gosh, now for 325 days? I've got it written over here somewhere. Oh. Somebody just nod their head and say, yeah, that's right. We'll just figure out that later. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of that week, after 3.5 years, he'll cause the sacrifice and the oblations to what? Cease. Well, you can't cause something that's not happening to cease if it doesn't exist. So we know it's going on before that period. Who's doing it? Levites. The Levitical priesthood is reestablished. You see all of these things that have to happen? All of these things that take place? Now, how long it's going to take Elijah to do that, your guess is as good as Matt's. And I'm saying, Mac, this is his study. And without a doubt, I don't see anybody else really putting any effort into this at all. I don't see anybody talking about the day of Christ, and that's what we're talking about, remember? Of the 4 days, we're still in the day of Christ. Because when the day of Christ ends is when this man of sin convinces and makes a compact or a covenant with the nation Israel, and they turn their back on God. You go, why would they do that? I mean, they've got wine, they've got corn, they've got their hills are flowing with water and fresh fruit, and then an abundance of stuff is making them stand out before every other nation. The nation Jerusalem is the center of the world activity because everybody knows God is with them. I mean, those are the things we just read. Those are some of the pieces we just read. Why would they turn their back on him? Two words. Human nature. Man is fallen. Man has a corrupt heart. He's got a corrupt mind. And there's nothing that'll change that except the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now we're going to look at what we're going to talk about next week real quickly. And then we'll build on it next week. Go to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms 2. Why do the nations rage? And the peoples imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers, that's the Jews, the rulers of the people, God's people, the rulers take counsel together against who? The Lord. And against His anointed. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's where we'll go next week. We'll look at that. And that is the beginning of the day of the Lord. That is when the man of sin makes a covenant with Israel. And they turn against Elijah. And what God is doing through Elijah. It's an amazing thing to see. How that happens. But we'll do that next week. I hope you spend time this week and study. And go back over some of these passages and look at them. And if you didn't write them down, you can always get Mac's book. And he's written it down. If anybody knows of anybody who has covered this stuff anywhere, at any time, the day of Christ, and the things that are going to happen during that day of Christ, which pertain to Elijah, and some of these other prophecies that are totally neglected, are totally taken out of position and put in another time period, in spite of the fact that it says before the great and notable day of the Lord. I'd like to hear about it. But I haven't found one. I've done some Google searches. I've spent some time looking. I can't find any person whose focus on all I ever find is that the day of Christ is the day of the Lord. In everything that I've read. It's amazing. I mean, even people of the Acts 28 position had no clue of it. I was reading, I think I've shared this with you before, a couple of weeks back, Stuart Allen. You know who Stuart Allen is? Stuart Allen followed after Mr. Welch. And Mr. Allen, in his book on the end times, the two are the same. The day of Christ, the day of the Lord. And these passages that we just talked about, boom, put in the day of the Lord. When they clearly point out that they are before the great and notable day of the Lord. Fascinating stuff. Just study it on your own. You got that book? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word and its impact. Again, that we might be good students. We might find approval in your sight. We might rightly divide the Scriptures. There might be a time we're called on assignment. And we thank you, Father, for your blessing in that as we pursue the truth. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.